Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is gracious. May we spend a few moments silently and remain standing, praise our God together. Heavenly Father, indeed we were once lost and had no hope, and you led us to the cross, knowing all we have is our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for granting us to worship you as one body in Christ. May you all focus on and praise you with clean hands and pure hearts. May we bless you as you have blessed us. Worship your holy name with joy and humble heart. Sing praises with the delights in knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Loving Father, teach us what it means to take up our cross daily and follow you. Help us to put death over overwhelming desires, to control our lives in the present and future. Please show us the emptiness of owning material things, the shallowness of the praise of others, and the offensiveness of our enormous pride. Fill us with a burning passion for your glory. Change our selfish hearts and enlarge them with love and gratitude toward you. You are the infinite and powerful creator of all things. We give thanks for your steadfast love and faithfulness toward your children. Heavenly Father, we especially lift our brothers and sisters in a congregation who are suffering from illness, surgery, going through chemotherapy treatments. May your healing power comfort each of them and grant them trust and wisdom from you. Bind the wandering hearts to you as we walk through this difficult time. Lift the caretakers with grace and love so that they may comfort and bring the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ into the family. Let your perfect love shine upon the darkness. Open your eyes and our eyes to see your kindness in our suffering, and give us strong faith to believe that you love us more than we know. May you bless and guide the brothers and sisters who are going through career changes. The journey of adjusting to life is not easy, but the hope and wisdom in Christ bring joy and peace to our hearts during this transition time. Father, we also humbly ask you to grant the missionaries far and local with a healthy body and protection, and continue to spread the gospel to the people they touch with humility and love. May your living word be rooted in the hearts of the people they reached. Merciful Father, please allow us to praise you through the cross so that by your power of mercy and benefits, we'll be able to witness the delights of your grace and compassionate love, and be joyful knowing that your love endures forever and will never leave us regardless of our changing life. Father, we continue to strive for your wisdom and will, giving grace to others in light of the immeasurable grace we have been so freely given. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please remain standing if you are able to do so. Today's scripture reading is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. It's really talk about lawsuit among believers. Here's a reading of his holy word. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. To have lawsuit at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, even your own brothers. This is the reading of his holy words. And thank you for staying for such a long time. Please be seated. Good morning again, and welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church in this rainy day. And this morning when I woke up, I said, wow, it's raining. So we have to be careful on driving and everything like that. And again, all God's grace, we arrive safely. And I welcome the people over here in Sanctuary and also from the internet, from streaming. And we pray that one day we all together in this Sanctuary, praising Lord together for his grace, for his grace. So this morning, the sermon is on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. I have been praying in this past couple weeks on this passage, as it's quite challenging to extrapolate the core meaning of this message. It is prudent, very important, to understand that this message on the living gospel teaches us that about his love and compassion in the body of the congregation that we have here. God's word never changes, remember that. God never changes because in John 1, verse 14, and he said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It is his grace, indeed it is his grace, his wisdom, and the truth that empowered me to complete this message on how God's word resolve Christian conflict in a church. Last Sunday, Interim Minister Andrew Yuan shared the message on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses from 5 to 23. The message brought us together in building and planting. We are the spiritual growth, right? And God's work that we do in this church, his gospel and ministries. So this morning, we are continuing the 1 Corinthians sermon series on the title, What is a Contentious Dispute in the Church? In the church. The meaning of contentious dispute is like to cause disagreement or argument in the church on how to handle disputes, conflicts, or differences among Christians. The main idea is that children of God should avoid greedy desires and selfish clashes that are destructive to the church because of what? Jesus Christ has saved us and changed us through the sacred cross. Therefore, today's main message is not in the context of suing in a church, but instead on the love, compassion, respect, and care, which the focus of the gospel bring us together as Christians. Apostle Paul is addressing the seriousness of preventing sin against God by not obeying his covenant to be a peacemaker. I also sensed a softer word will reflect the gentleness and caring in the family of Christ in these verses. Let me introduce some background about this Corinthian situation here. So again, the book of Corinthians was written by Apostle Paul back in approximately AD 54 after death. So the book's core message was Apostle Paul wanted the Corinthian church to reflect on the gospel, right? To stop arrogance and disagreements. Work together for the advancement of the gospel. So the ancient Greek city of Corinth was destroyed by the Romans in 146 BC or before Christ, but was rebuilt a century later by Julius Caesar. In the time of Paul, Corinth was a busy Roman trading city on the narrow strip of land between Ionian Sea and the Aegean Sea, the present day of Greece, as you see on the screen on the location of the city currently. Interesting commentary from pastor and author John MacArthur. He points out that the legal situation in Corinth was a part of everyday life, just like us, It had become a form of challenge and even entertainment. One of the writers claimed that, in a manner of speaking, every Athenian and the Corinthians was a lawyer, So please allow me to brief you on the arbitration system at that time. When a problem arose between two parties, they should not settle between themselves. The first recourse was private arbitration to attempt to resolve the problem, right? If they fail, the case was turned over to a court known as the 40, which assigned a public arbitrator to each party. It seems every citizen had to serve as a public arbitrator during the 60th year of his life. If public arbitration failed, the case went to jury court, composed of several hundred to several thousands of jurors. Every citizen over 30 was subject to serving as a juror. Most citizens were regularly involved in legal proceedings of one sort or another. This is quite similar to the present day of jurors that the local county draft us to this civic jury duty. And many of us try to avoid it with excuses. So again, you can see at that time, they are really going through the arbitration that we have currently. So in the city of Corinth, Gentile Christians have been so used to arguing, disputing, and taking one another to court for trivial cases that they carry those practices into their new lives as Christians. So on the other hand, for centuries, Jews had settled all the disputes privately or in a synagogue court. So they refused. They refused to take their problems before a Gentile court, believing that to do so would imply that God, through his people using his own scripture principles, was not competent to solve every problem. Interestingly, going to the court before Gentiles was considered for a form of blasphemy. That's very hard, right? Both Greek and Roman rulers had allowed the Jews to continue that practice, even outside Corinth. Under Roman laws, Jews could try virtually every offense and give almost any sentence, except that of death. As we know from Jesus' trial, the Sanhedrin were free to imprison and beat Jesus as they please. But they require the permission of Rome, represented by Pilate, to put Jesus to death. So therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's look at the present day. We would inevitably encounter challenges, conflicts, and disputes in viewing life, serving ministry with different ideas, disagreements in the family, or just simply not getting along with others. That's a self-reflection right there, right? Did you have a disagreement or argument recently with your family members, colleagues, co-workers, or friends? I pray you will seek peace, wisdom, and forgiveness through the amazing love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, Christians create negative and failed meanings of the gospel by their actions and attitude. They turn unbelievers away from the Lord Jesus Christ because their lives contradict the message that the gospel of Christ makes one different. It is the gospel, indeed it is the gospel. When there are sharp disagreements in the points of your denomination, theological realm, and the debate over how the Bible addresses social justice, this kind of interpretation and divisions can discourage Christians and even Christ seekers of many like us. It gives us an uncomfortable situation and even challenges our faith. But this type of bad behavior runs throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. Remember at that time, the people in Corinth were proud and excusing sexual immorality. Spiritual gifts were being misused. And there was rampant misunderstanding of the fundamental Christian doctrines and demand for personal rights. So Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians in an attempt to restore the Corinthian church to its foundation, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the church was going through a tough time, a very tough time, where believers took one another to secular court to settle the disputes, grievances, and complaints in civil court. So the church was not addressing the criminal acts that should be reported to legal authorities, but in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, it said, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, only God. And those that exist have been instituted by God," end quote. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So let us look into two points why Christians should not sue Christians in civil courts. Number one, point one. Contentious or quarrelsome dispute toward a fellow believer is not the love of God and contradicts the responsibility of a Christ follower like us too. Jesus said in John 13:35, quote, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Corinthians have forgotten this message. Truly, they forgot about this message, or they did not think it had any impact or whether or not to take a brother or sister in Christ to civil court is just or biblical. They fail to see inconsistency of unbelievers being called upon to judge believers. Point one, we will be judged over the word from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. It said, "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels, and how much more than matters pertaining to this life? In these verses, the word grievance translates as a matter of contention, dispute, lawsuit. Paul's main charge, remember, Paul's main charge in this passage is that believers like us who have legal disputes with fellow believers, our brothers and sisters, should settle them before believers among us, right? Settle among us, and not take them to the law court before unbelievers. This is very, very deep to understand what we mean by that. But remember that the Corinthians' lawsuit were not criminal cases, such as murder, rape, or theft, but minor matters that led to litigation, the trivial cases. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? It all started with the Corinthians worshiping God's glory in their own way, with lust, idolatry, sexual immorality, testing the law, grumbling, and pride. Is all sins against God. Brothers and sisters, we should not use worldly methods to resolve brotherly and sisterly church matters. Instead, in all things, we should be set apart as Christ-centered people, governed by God's word, and empowered by God's Spirit. And in God's way only, in his way only. So in verse 2, it mentioned that the trivial case, the Corinthians handled the litigations, no major offenses at that time. All pagans' litigation are trivial when viewed in the light of judgment day, the judgment day, and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also highlights that wealthy believers in Corinth were taking advantage of the power to engage in legal disputes over trivial matters. So remember, the scripture said, he has given him, Jesus, the Son of Man, all authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. John 5:27. So the Corinthians are contending with the situation, but not knowing Jesus is the final judge. So they are not aware of that at all. Point number 2. Contentious or quarrelsome dispute toward a fellow believer is contradicting with how the church should work. In one of the commentaries by John Piper, he quoted, "I cannot think of any reason why a Christian should take another Christian to court. Peacemaker ought to go to peace with each other, with each other. What you want to do is model for the world, you are not a lover of money," end quote. Is this ever okay to be like this? In verse 7, it reminds us that it said, to have lawsuit to all with one another is already a defeat for you. Defeat for you and I. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? It emphasizes such conflict is already a defeat in Christ. Why we are deceiving such an idea of suing another Christians? The church should be able to handle matters like this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, it reads, "So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church?" End quote. Apostle Paul is questioning. He is questioning in these cases. Do you appoint people who have no standing in church to be judged or judges? The Corinthians invited pagan judges who had no status in the church to arbitrate matters within the church. So the church should be able to handle, like us here, this type of matter. We are family in Christ and should need to act like it. Christians are to be love, serve, and work in harmony with one another. That is quite difficult because we are all sinners. Another point, the church witness to unbelievers must not be compromised. Again, the church's witness to unbelievers must not be compromised. It's stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. It reads, I say this is to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brothers, go to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. To have lawsuit at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourself wrong and defraud, even your own brothers. Paul sees this as a spiritual attack. Indeed, it is a spiritual attack on the Corinthians. How could this be that the believers are against fellow believers? Christians against Christians. The contributing factors have been addressed earlier, that the Corinthians church boasted about its wisdom and how smart they were. So gospel brings us together in Christ with humility and care. Again, gospel alone brings us together in Christ with humility and care. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called son of God. For they shall be called son of God. A peacemaker is someone who is actively seeking to reconcile people to God and to one another. Does that mean we agree with everything others say or do? Do we? No, not at all. Sometimes we agree or disagree or agreeably on the issues. But God wanted his children to be bridge builders, to be bridge builder and reconcile people to God through his word. He wants us to compromise with each other, bring people together. So here's an example of the bridging and working with coworkers with grace and understanding. We have been serving our family. We have been serving the ministry for more than 20 years. We notice and continue to pray for God's grace. Us church is more complicated than outside world. Truly more complicated. But we often need to adjust and face challenges to cope with uncertainty. Frequently, the finance ministry, as I've been serving now, you may need to know that we have to go extra mile to work with other ministries. We might have differences in viewing the issues, but we strive to serve with love and understanding to work things out together. Conflict and different opinions always arise in many cases, and by working together, we're able to serve with grace and be a peacemaker in all situations. All problems can be resolved. It is how we evaluate the situation and we solve the challenges with a mutual understanding. Case in point, the mission ministry requested certain items within 24 hours that was occurring on last Friday, which started, you know, the request. So we work together through the grace of God. We meet what we need to do. Yet we also comply with the church policy. Brother and sister, we have to work together. Nothing will be smooth in our life. With the love of God, with the grace that he gave us, I believe strongly we can resolve any issues that we have through him, only through his word, with great compassion and with great love. So as also mentioned, we'd like to refer back to John Piper. He said, I cannot think of any reason why a Christian would take another Christian to court. Peacemakers ought to go to peace with each other. The scripture alone inform us, right? The church should be able to handle matters like this rather than going through arbitration. It is critical to note that Paul's message is not, again, is not preventing valid legal actions or investigation into mishandling by today's church leaders and its members. Still, rather, he was addressing trivial cases mentioned in verse 2. So we also need to share the message with the congregation to be free, again, to be free, to report any mishandling within the church, whether sexual, physical, verbal, emotional, or spiritual. But we need to exercise conflict competency, the competency of resolving issues, to resolve the likelihood to harm in the body of Christ, or to prevent the further seriousness of sins. And I believe the following sentence contributed by the late Pastor Timothy Keller brings all the meaning of a church in Christ. The Bible, and he said, the Bible judges the church. The Bible judges the church. The church does not judge the Bible. The Bible is the foundation for and the creator of the church. And the church is not the foundation for or creator of the Bible. So the church and its hierarchy must be evaluated by the believers with the biblical gospel as the touchstones or plumb line for judging all truth claims. Quote from Timothy Keller. Dear brothers and sisters, the reflection of love and care among the brothers and sisters are very important. To work together is very, very important. Again, conflicts always occur regardless of what we face. By the grace of God, we work together. We pray together. We care for each other. And we love for each other. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you alone empower us with your love and mercy so that we may love others. May you guide us to be with you with a humble heart as we serve the church with discernment, joy, humility, respect for others. Make us slow to anger and abound in love as you have shown in your holiness to us. We give thanks for the time in worshiping you this morning. May you grant us continue to care for and love each other as you have loved us first. We pray all this in the name of our perfect and loving Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Would you rise with us as we sing a song response? All I have is Christ.